of home has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, looking forward to a good program again tonight. And, men, I'll let you know when your callers call in.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody again this Wednesday evening to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us. We thank you for taking time out of your evening to listen to some testimonies. And what are those testimonies? Those are testimonies of the captives being set free all through the process, which is commonly called deliverance. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. There's wealth information at that website available. They're free of charge. Or if you need if you prefer a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's a fantastic manual for casting out demons. Fantastic manual for doing the supernatural works of Jesus. You can get that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Tell him you need that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, here we are on another Wednesday. He comes rolling around. They seem to just roll around sometimes quicker and quicker.
It's amazing how fast they come around, that here we are, and praise God, the excitement of sharing what we've learned in the gospel and with others and in the area that's called deliverance, and where people can be set free from all kinds of problems like fear and anger and rage and depression, anxiety, and the list goes on and on, often in one ministry session. So we're excited that the listeners are here, that we can share this, and the testimonies coming up where they can tell how their lives changed.
Yes, yes, and that's actually, before we go on, I usually pray that the Lord would bless the speakers, let them be able to get it out using Luke 12:12, command all evil spirits not to come against the broadcast. But most of all, I ask the Lord to let the airwaves get out to the people that need to hear it, and let it be encouraging to those. And And I just pray that in faith, and I know that each week as we come on, I just know the way the Holy Spirit coordinates things, that someone comes on and talks about an issue that somebody out there is listening that's having that issue, and they're looking for an answer.
Amen. Well, this is the place. And 36 years of doing it is Deliverance Ministries. And why we keep doing it is because we keep seeing it work and people set free, as I mentioned, of all kinds of problems. It's a supernatural situation that once you've seen it, as I did 42 years ago, I sure wanted to see more. It was fascinating. It was amazing. And then it was extremely fulfilling as we saw God's power, the Holy Spirit, move and set people free from these evil spirits and from the torment that's been going on in their life. And they often look like different people at the end of the evening. We all marvel over that. Well, we had 19 cases Monday night. It was a great evening. And
fantastic.
We had 15 ministers there. So one of our ministers that's real good at doing group ministered to four. And it was a great evening. I had a kind of a tough case, as they go, and had some outcries, which is very unusual. But it went. As hard as it was, we got to the goal line, it appears, in that there were some legal rights, of course, and some curses that had been put upon her. She had been involved with a young man that was into Wicca, and he apparently had put some spells on her. She also had some altars from some abandonment situations early in her life, but we worked through them. And then she had a limb check, which is always exciting to do. You know how people have to go to a chiropractor every so often. That's one of the things we do in our ministry. We have the person sit down in a straight back chair, as I had this lady, and with her permission held her shoes up. Sure enough, her left leg was about a half inch short. Not a lot, but a half inch. And as we spoke the usual things, in Jesus' name adjust, pain go, it came out. And then as she stood up and we did the arm check, her left arm was a full inch short. And we got to watch that come out and prayed over her brainstem. Anyway, the pain she'd been having was gone, and that was exciting. And then she got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. So I'm still on a high for Monday night, even though I did another case Tuesday, but keeps me on these highs.
Well, praise the Lord. It sounds like she'd have to be doing better.
Yes. And in fact, she called me the next day and said she had a wonderful night, and she'd been having a lot of tormenting dreams and stuff, and so it was exciting.
Well, that's a common testimony. A good night's sleep. A lot of people will tell it's one of the best nights' sleep they've had in a long time. They sleep like a baby, get through the whole night. I remember after my deliverance, the first one, it had been several days since I'd slept well, and it was just absolutely fantastic. So it's a very, very common testimony, very, very common. So, but it's interesting, you had the outcries. They really don't happen that often. And generally when it's done, it's because some sort of door hasn't been closed yet. And obviously, from what you said, you discerned it was a curse being placed on her. So if you ever are doing deliverance and there's a lot of outcries in there, sit back and ask the Holy Spirit to help reveal what it is, find out what is causing that, and generally it'll be one of those 15 doors is still open.
Yes. Well, that's right. And I even found some unforgiveness that, and she'd been had ministry before, but somehow she'd missed forgiving someone, and then she still needed to forgive herself more. And that's something I'm always pushing is a big-time thing to do in this kind of ministry because, as Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and she was.
Yeah, forgiving yourself is something that people miss a lot. You know, they seem to be, okay, I can forgive this person, or okay, I can forgive that person, but they really never forgive themselves for what they've done. And, you know, it's pretty simple to lay down in the scripture. I mean, if Jesus forgives you, if you confess your sins, and there's a repentant heart and you confess, it says that he is righteous to forgive. And when he forgives and we don't, we're actually in a form of idolatry because we're placing ourselves above Jesus. And that's an extra door right there. Probably why one of the reasons why we're handed over to the tormentors, because Jesus is like, look, I'm going to be first and foremost, and there's going to be no other gods before me.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And I suspect had she not done that forgiving, her short leg and arm would not have adjusted, because we've seen a lot of that. We've learned if the leg doesn't come out, or arm, if it's short, if it doesn't come out, then there's probably more unforgiveness. And I, you know, we look up to the person and holding their shoes there as we are. Who else do you need to forgive? Holy Spirit, no. Show them. And then the more names come to them, they voice out to Jesus, they forgive them and they bless them. Then out comes a short leg or arm. I've seen that many, many times. That just shows, though, how important it is to forgive, because it's blocking that healing. Well, what other healing will it block? Well, I think it blocks all the infirmities. So even cancer and this heavy diseases. And so it's not worth it to carry 1 ounce of unforgiveness toward others, themselves, and then sometimes people carry unforgiveness toward God. They've never had any teaching, and they just assume God is doing the bad stuff too. They're not aware of Satan and his demons that come to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said. So they just blame God on everything bad as well. So it's to have run into that, where demons wouldn't go until they had forgiven God.
And sometimes that forgiving, after you go through deliverance, a lot of time, and I know that it's brought in on the door closing prayer when you ask in the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to reveal people to you that you need to forgive. Sometimes you can go just be going along several days. You're like, you know, wow, I haven't thought about that in years. I better forgive that person, or wow, I, you know. And it's still 5 years later, I still will find myself, I'll be driving around, and a memory will pop up, and I'll start thinking about stuff, and I'm like, wow, I don't think I ever forgave that person. So I practice it. I do not want the torment that used to be there. I don't want any of those things that used to be there in my life ever again.
Yes, and of course, the longer you have lived in this life, the more people have probably done you wrong. So, you know, if a person hadn't lived but 15 years, there's not usually a whole lot. But if you've lived 65, 75, 85 years, you had lots of opportunities for people to do you wrong. So you need to make sure you clean it all out by forgiving that person and blessing them. And if you can't remember the name, but you remember them in your head, just tell the Lord you forgive that person and you bless them.
Yes. Well, Pastor, we have our first caller. Esther, thank you for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yes, hi Esther, I'm so glad you called in. It's Ralph up in the Branson, Missouri area on here with us, and I'm happy you've made it and able to come on the show. Why don't you go ahead, Esther, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like, and then how you've even started going into the training. You might share all that.
Oh, okay. I was born in actually Detroit, Michigan, and my dad was a pastor. We called it back then AME Zion, African Methodist Episcopal. And in that church, that denomination, you got to travel a lot. They would send you to start churches and stuff. So I was born, my family really is from Detroit, Michigan, but my mom and dad had, there's eight of us, and so he was moved to Ohio. They had him in North Carolina, and then back in Detroit. And then when I was born, I'm number six out of eight kids, they decided they wanted him to start a church in Chicago, Illinois. And my mom was livid. No way. And this is, we're talking like, I was born in 53, so we talking about I was 6 years old, so early 60s maybe. And Chicago wasn't a well-known place to be and raising kids, so she was very opposed. But one thing they did was always, and they showed us a good example, they prayed together about disagreements. I got to see how, you know, how marriage is supposed to work through my parents. And so God said he was to go, and he went to Chicago, and that's where we stayed. The rest of my last two siblings, because there's eight of us, and everybody's there. But Dad's church, he was a brimstone and kind of fire preacher. So I got saved at age 12 and was baptized and on, and got filled actually when I was a teenager with the Holy Ghost, and loved it. I had just a beautiful experience until I, of course, got to be where I was really graduate from high school, and then I wanted to, you know, date and all that stuff that they weren't going to really allow. So I went away to college, and when I was in college, I just think being raised so kind of strict, but in a loving environment, but it was strict. And the hell and brimstone, you know, you figure if you do mess up, you go into hell, you know, pretty much. Or you had to get up and repent to the church. It's just a lot of things. And so I kind of started, you know, drawn away from my relationship with the Lord and from the church. And it's so much happened to me in college. It's not enough time to tell. But so I did end up getting married probably my junior year. Yeah, my junior year in college, because I got pregnant and I ended up getting married. We moved to a little town where, I don't know if anybody knows, Northwestern University is. It's in Evanston, Illinois. And that's where I married. But I married a man who, he wasn't a Christian, and I was pregnant, and I felt I had no choice, you know, because my parents, you know, weren't going to tolerate me being pregnant out of wedlock. And I married him, and he had, now I know it's called bipolar. It was Jekyll Hyde, that's what I used to call it, Dr. Jekyll Hyde. I never knew who I was going to come home. He was going to come home to, it's going to be Jekyll Hyde today, and mostly he was the mean one. So it was a very rough year, 10 years of being married. But in that time, though, you know, it did bring me back to prayer, a good prayer life, because I had to pray, ask God to help me, you know, with this relationship. My father didn't believe in divorce or anything. And it was really terrible. I almost even, you know, was killed in that relationship with him. But God did finally see a way to set me free from that. And I about 2-3 years later from our divorce, I ended up getting married again. And in that marriage, there were no children. In my first time, I had four sons, all boys. And but in that marriage, in the second one, yeah, he was going to church. We had a good relationship for 15 years almost. And then, anyway, he's passed and all. But I had opportunity, you know, to really see God. And he was telling me, forgive your father, because my father was, you know, he loves you, and this is what. And so I developed another relationship with my dad. But in 2001, I ended up coming to Oklahoma, Tulsa, or going to Bible. I went to a Bible college, Rhema, and it was such an experience to find God loves me and he forgives me. And because I hadn't forgiven myself for so many things. And I fell in love with God all over because I felt the found a loving God. Growing up, I saw so many miracles in my dad's church, and I was telling him I don't see them no more. We need them so bad today. Where are the miracles? And what I learned coming to the ministry, the deliverance ministry, when I first went, I just was seeking more and believing I had heard about it. And I was like, where is this place? A place that you can get deliverance and healing? You know, because I only see it on TV back when Benny Hinn. I'm like, where is it today? And so a friend of mine told me about it, and I came. I found out I had to do some forgiving, some deep, deep hurts, because I went through the deliverance service, and God showed me some things I had buried, and they came out. He just, when they pray with you there, and if you're going because you want deliverance, God will show you. And he showed me some deep things, and I had to ask forgiveness and pray, you know, for them, God, to bless them. Those people, some are living and some are dead, but I had to do that. And I felt like I got set free in that. And then we started learning about, you know, demons are being cast out and how demons got there. And I was like, Lord was like telling me, this is something I want you to do. And I could hear him telling me that, but I wasn't going to speak it. And the lady that was praying with me said, did the Lord tell you that you need to be a part of this? And it was, I didn't say it to her. And I was like, yes, he did. She said, I heard him. And I said, I heard him too, but I just didn't want to acknowledge it because I'm like, Lord, am I worthy to come to such a place to learn how to heal, you know, to, he said, greater works will we do in a place that believes that, where you and I, ordinary people, can learn to cast out demons, learn to not be afraid of them, because they're under the foot of Jesus. That's the stuff I'm learning, how much power I got. Angels, I have angels that I can command and ask, you know, to go before me, and I have done it since I've been going, maybe go this 6 weeks now, and I've had a couple instances where I had to, in situations where people are really getting out of hand and getting violent. I remember I read Reverend Everett talks about a book, and I read this book, and that's what I learned about how these angels are at our command, waiting, just waiting for us to command them to go and do things. And I command the angels of this man was getting all violent. I command, I'm doing a prayer, Lord. I command my angels to have him to quiet down and to be quiet and to leave. And that's exactly what happened. And I was like, oh, this is so powerful. And so I've been really excited. I'm kind of new but I have, you know, seen miracles in my lifetime growing up. So I'm not unacquainted with that, but I just haven't seen it in over 30 years. So I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to see people wanting to be delivered and getting delivered set free and knowing God is still doing it today.
Yes. Yeah, Esther, you're a lot like me. When I first saw it, it was so exciting and fascinating and very fulfilling to be in the middle of it. And when I finally got to ministering, to actually see that God would use little me, because I'm not out of a seminary or anything. I'm a businessman, a pilot, and a skin diver and a bunch of stuff, but I didn't ever have any background. I went to a denominational church, and they didn't ever touch on anything about this. And yet, I can look back and see in my old church, there were many people that had problems that we deal with all the time in the ministry, that they obviously needed help, but no one knew about it. And they never got help. They're all the time I was there. So... in your ministry yourself, did you feel the evil spirits coming out, Esther, or what went on?
Well, in mine, when we prayed and she asked me, you know, just dig deep and let God speak to me. And, like I did hear him say, you know, about the ministry. But then when, we were trying to see where, you know, areas of, where Satan was trying to get in, and that was in the unforgiveness part. And so, I felt, you know, first the burning, I had a burning in my stomach, and I had, like, I started belching and the burning, and then, and she was saying, at first I didn't, you know, you think sometimes you think you've forgiven everybody and, you know, you just let things, you bury things, you know, nothing good's going to ever happen. But people, I've had so much hurt in my life that, then, you know, the Lord started bringing them as well. You know, some things that I have done. And so he just started bringing it because she got quiet and let God talk to me and asked God talk to me. What is it that, you know, who is it that, I needed to forgive? And then, he actually showed me and why this person was so mean. He didn't just tell me. He showed me. I saw a picture, like a vision of this person and what growing up and what was done to them. And it was like, wow. And it was like God saying, that's why this person was doing these things. You know, he showed me. He was kind enough to let me see, which, you know, gave me, wow, like more sympathy for them and easy to forgive. And it was a very hard thing that person had did to me, very hard. And I just didn't want to think about it. I never just want to think about it or that person. And so that's the first person it wasn't. They weren't on my mind at all when I came in there. I wasn't thinking about them. So I know God brought that up for me to let that go, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what you've experienced is typical of many, and it's so amazing to see all this happen in front of us, even though it takes generally after the teaching and door closing, we'll spend usually a couple of more hours or so in the ministry session, maybe longer than that. Did yours take quite a while?
Yeah, I actually... because of what some of the experiences that I had, and we, you know, it was coming up, I had to come back to my lady. She was like, okay, you know, and I think we were there till like 10 that night, and she was like, we're not really quite through, and we went quite a bit of stuff, but she just felt there was something more, and she asked, would I be willing to come back the next week? And I was, yes, I would love to come back and just, you know, totally finish. So, I mean, some people may be in a rush, but I just wanted God to clean me up all the way, take out anything that needed to come out. So, so I came back the very next Monday, and we finished, you know, going into prayer and going into intercession she did with me. So mine took two visits for me to really get set free totally. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was long. You know, maybe some people may think that was a lot. It wasn't a lot for me, you know, so, yeah.
Esther, you mentioned you had a lot of hurts to get rid of, so... you had the inner healing that is working through the traumas that you had and the Jesus, and you developed the feelings that went with that and then gave them to Jesus. Did that give you a lot of relief in working with that trauma door?
Yes. That was the door that really, because when I went away to college, like I said, I kind of really got loose. I mean, I ended up being raped a couple of times, actually, in college. And so it was a lot of trauma, a lot of bitterness, you know, and that I didn't want to, I didn't, you know, before I went, I just didn't want to remember it. And so it was brought up, actually, as the sister prayed with me, she saw some things that I didn't tell her that I had, that had, I believe was connected to the trauma. She saw my gout. I in the last probably 10 years been suffering with gout and the acidity. And I mean, God just used her to show her things, and I never told her those things. So,
wow.
You know, it was just beautiful. It was just a beautiful experience, you know, because God loved me enough to want me free.
Esther, do you remember who worked with you, a team leader?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the team leader.
Yes, what was her name, the one that worked with you?
Oh, Andrea. Andrea worked with me. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Did you hear me? It was Andrea.
I'll bet even that first night, that first Monday, you felt a lot better.
That's why I was really excited to come back, because that first one was really about forgiveness. It really was. And then there was more to come. But we were in there, you know, for a while. And, I mean, we moved around a bunch of things on the sheet that you have, that you were circled, the things that you know, that you're dealing with, that you need deliverance from. And so we had went through that. But God started showing Andrea some things. Like I said, with the gout and the acidity, which is what they just told me. I've been so full of acid in my body that it was just, I think they called it the ketones, and she was naming it. And I never discussed that, and I didn't even put that on my list. So I know God used her, you know, in discernment to show her some of the illnesses that I was dealing with. And probably most of it did come from, you know, the trauma experience that I had.
Yeah. Did anybody say to you afterwards that you look different?
Oh, no. So I went, I only went that twice for myself for deliverance. And then I started coming to the classes. So I've been coming ever since to the classes. And I'm just completing the classes, about six weeks now. And so now I'm sitting in with, I've had 2 weeks where I've been sitting in with different leaders.
That's all part of the training. What I was mentioning was a lot of times people after ministry, they look different. They even look younger. Their faces are softer. I've had that happen recently with some of the cases. And it's most astonishing when you think about how they looked when they came in and how they looked at the end of the ministry session. You know, a lot of times people will say afterwards, there's something different about you. Did anyone say that in your case? Praise God.
I hadn't. What has been happening is that people are coming to me asking me to pray with them. Sister, I just, you know, they don't necessarily know me. So I have right now probably have about four women that have I've been calling and praying with, that one I knew. One of them that I've been praying for, I knew, and God did some miracles for her already. Some of the other ones, they're kind of just this been happening in the last 3 weeks. So I've just been, you know, talking and praying with them. And it's kind of strange because it's not something I sought out. I didn't, you know, say I'm going to start a little prayer group or nothing. You know, people just like, sister, would you please pray with me? You know, and I'm like, sure, you know, I'll pray with you. So God is just, I feel like I needed the experience of the teaching to help me.
God sends people to you. Once you have learned about this, God will send people to you. Well, we're out of time, Esther. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your ministry, because it is so needed, and I'm so blessed to be with you in this ministry.
great to have you, Esther. Well, God bless you.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
There's that joy we always talk about each week when they come on. It's a joy in her voice.
I know.
It's absolutely fantastic. That is an excellent testimony. You could tell that that she definitely got her Jesus overhaul, and I think she's going to make a good team leader.
Yes, she's into it.
Yep. Richard, do we have our next caller yet?
No, I didn't hear him say anything.
I guess not. But no, it's well, no, we do have the next one. Jennifer, are you there?
Hello, hi, yes, this is Jennifer. Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you hear me?
For calling in. Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, quite soft, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay, well, great. Well, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen, and then here you are going through the training, so you can share that. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Everett, for having me. This is a great opportunity to share my testimony. I was born and brought up in India, in Mumbai, India, in a Christian home. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at a very young age. I believe it was between 12 to 14 years old. We would have a small, you know, prayer meetings at our home, and you know, I was in the Lord back then. So, you know, being saved and everything, our family still have, there was a lot of dysfunction in my home. There was a lot of abuse and oppression of the enemy. I actually lived with a grandmother. I'm kind of, as a child, grew up with a grandmother who had, you know, some kind of mental, a kind of severe form of schizophrenia. And it was very difficult growing up spending my childhood in that way. So I grew up with a lot of fear. I grew up with a lot of, you know, anger also, that, you know, I know Jesus and I pray every day and there's no answer. There's always this happening in the home. So kind of bitterness as I grew up. I didn't even know about deliverance at all until like recent years. So I'm very thankful for the Lord. Even about being baptized in the Holy Spirit or anything about the works of the Holy Spirit or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of no idea. And a lot of unforgiveness in my heart growing up, and at some point it was very difficult to live a life, you know, half and half, believing in Jesus, but not able to, you know, serve the Lord properly. So, I think just recently, through some friends, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and really came to the deliverance ministry, you know, I released and I broke those ungodly soul ties with my family members with so much anger. Heart and praise God that that free today, and that's my freedom, is that to forgiving not just others who have hurt me, my family members, but myself, and having judgment toward God, I, you know, with all my heart, and that really today I'm walking in freedom from that. So I really, really praise God that I can do that through Christ in me, and really, it's a miracle, and praise God for that. So, those are the few things. Another thing that I can definitely say that because of there's so much dysfunction, I was not able to in my kind of sole. It was more like a sole cap came off. That was another. I was able to grow. You know, it's almost like not able to grow into adulthood, like some areas of my life. So praise God that I'm maturing and just growing in the Lord in completeness and wholeness. And I really, really, I'm so grateful that the Lord has done that for me. And I really want to thank Him. And that He has never left me in any ways. He has never let me go. I'm the one who walked away, but the Lord has never, never let me go. And His hand is always upon me and my family.
Yeah. How old were you when you moved to from India to America?
So U.S., I came in 1996. I had just turned 18, and that was a long time ago. Yeah, I was very, very young, and yeah, I moved here to go to college here in the States.
Mm-hmm. And you found your husband there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, my husband, after I graduated, after 4 years, I met him, through, just some of my pastor's friends or, like an arranged marriage thing. I met him in Detroit. So, yeah, I met him later on after like about 4 years after I graduated. And then we were married and that was it. So, yeah, and then, you know, just how it was quite a bit of a struggle to I grew up in a Methodist kind of a Presbyterian church, so different doctrines, and then went to a Baptist church here, so it was hard for us to find like a proper church kind of that we could go to or settle in. So yeah.
Yes, and I guess you and your husband kind of hit it off pretty quick since you're both from India. You immediately were attracted to each other.
Yeah, we did. We did get to spend time a little bit with each other, and my husband very he was already very mature, and I he shared his testimony, and that's what I fell in love with, is that he was so real and down to earth, and Lord, even back then, and then that really, said yes for me, like, yes, this is the man. So, yes. And it was very, very, very good to me. Yeah.
So, when you went through your deliverance, what was that like? Did you go through deliverance here in with the deliverance ministries?
Yes. Before deliverance ministry, there was other ministry. I mean, I was seeking deliverance. I just didn't know where to go, how to, and what it is. And so we somehow met this other pastor from North Carolina, and his books and his ministry also helped. It was more emotional healing and growth. And I received that first time, that through forgiveness we can really release, through Christ and be healed and not hold on to any bitterness. And after that, I really needed deliverance from this. It was very difficult. And when I came to our deliverance ministry here in Oklahoma, it was really great, because I was struggling with nightmares and dreams that I would wake up with fear or anger, and I didn't even know why and how. Just through forgiveness and the deliverance here, they're gone. You know, I no longer have fears, dreams of fear or anger or even sweating really heavily. I would wake up, but I no longer have those. So praise God. Yeah, that's the first time when I had come here in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. Well, your deliverance, did you feel the spirits coming out when you were ministered to?
So there was one time you had prayed that, you said something, warrior angels go and you know, bring back the broken fragments, and I felt a really lightness over my shoulders, like something was lifted off of me. So I did sense that physically. So if that's what it is, then that's how the spirits left. I did receive that during the closing doors, door closing. So I just felt light, or like there was like a lightness on my shoulder, like some burden was just taken off. I just completely feel light. So the door closing prayers and then the deliverance, yeah.
Did you feel different then after your deliverance?
After the deliverance, the agitation, during sleep or those nightmares, they were gone. So, I praise mm-hmm. God for those. I'm a good sleeper. I sleep quite well. And if the Lord is also teaching me and helping me grow, the Holy Spirit convicts me of things that sometimes I even don't understand that, I've held some anger towards someone or unforgiveness that I quickly forgive. And I think that's what's begun to happen is every time I release forgiveness, I don't feel heaviness in my stomach. I feel very light. So that's a big change for me. Just the Holy Spirit working in my heart to understand that for me.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, now, when you went through deliverance, I know you were in several generations of Christians there in India. Did you have mm-hmm. any Hindu curses that you had to break?
Yes.
Generational curses.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think big time. We don't even know, but we do have those strongholds and curses. One of the things I know for a fact that when we broke the generational curse over me, I was praying. For me, it's always been that I work hard or somehow my the enemy has come against my career and just my job. It's not something great or anything, but just it's like an area in my life that I work very hard and I still end up with nothing. And I believe that has been broken. I believe I have received that breakthrough after many years, and all it was is to break the generational curse. So that's one area in my life. But we do have a lot of spirit of witchcraft in our family line. We do have people who just I don't know how, and very dominating type, very much a lot of abuse, like verbal abuse and things like that. So we need to, me and my husband always, we try to break those curses. And especially our, like I said, the soulless realm, that soul cap, we want to mature spiritually, but we can't mature if you're not emotionally mature. And I feel that our Indian families usually are too hyper emotion, or like, there is like a fountain of emotions. Like, it's all over the place and there's no control. There's no boundaries. It's like, rage is rage. Anger is anger. And fear is tremendous fear. So, that sort of thing. So we need to continue to pray for those curses to be broken. But I definitely have one breakthrough. I'm so grateful, that I'm doing well. I have a wonderful job position, and God is just, the Holy Spirit is just over me, like in every area. Like this was a blocked area, and the Holy Spirit is just powerfully hovering over me, I believe. And it's so, so awesome to know that the Lord cares and He's watching over. So I'm so grateful.
Thank God. Well, What would you say with your Hindu background? There's quite a few people, as you've noticed, here in America that are involved in yoga. What would you, what would be your comments on that?
Yeah, I definitely
they don't know it's Hindu.
Would like people.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it is a very big funny thing, but yoga is in no way good for health, first of all, and it is very much they think it's something. Well, the way they have marketing it in America, they're making it more Western. So much so that even the physicians and doctors are saying, "Oh, it's good for your health. You should go do some yoga." But actually, the source is very, very much unclean. Hinduism is very much more of an occult. It's rooted in worship of idols and really things that are not clean. And so the demonic world also is there, we know, and that spirit comes, and you are opening doors to these unclean spirits to come and take over your body and bring that for a few seconds, but it's really, it's very unclean. Eventually, it doesn't have a good outcome. So definitely, I would not, if I could, you know, I would tell the truth and just say, hey, you know, stay away from yoga. It's not something that God wants us to. As children of God, we cannot be involved in that, because it is kind of an open door to entering the occult and the very idol worship that the Hindus do. And they're very proud of it, too, and package it as it is okay and it's good for your health, but it's actually not. And it's very sad that in America, people are so much deceived, and they think that it's a great thing to, it comes from some, you know, Indian culture, so it's great and it's got, no, but it's rooted in that which is very unclean, and it's a road to devastation, so it's really sad. And if anything, I would say instead of yoga, if we just spend time with the Lord and stay in His presence and the Holy Spirit, surrender to the Spirit of God, which is true, holy, and clean, I believe our bodies will stay in good health. And I really, really think, I really believe
some
that.
People,
but yeah, yoga is...
Some people, a common spirit that we run into with concerning yoga is a spirit called Kundalini. And it often hangs out along the person's spine. But, a lot of people have thought in America that yoga's okay, and even the exercises, but somewhere along the line, I finally learned that even the exercises are a tribute to Hindu gods, and they're a door for the spirits to come in. So we're trying to get the word out.
Yes, Everett. The way they, the yoga goes is they teach you the positions. classes that show the classes are named after those positions, like over the flow, heat, or surrender, or fire, or something like that. You're actually, those positions are actually open doors. You're opening doors to that spiritual world. You're actually ungodly and unclean spirit, and those positions are very much to have opening to that. And it's a very, very
it's sad.
It has nothing to do with the health. So
yes, that's right. It's sad. It's sad that so many Americans have gotten into that trap, and then they wonder why they're tormented with demons. Well, Jennifer, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a great testimony, very interesting, and from your Hindu perspective of where you were born and, of course, came here, but you have a lot of background that most Americans don't have the slightest. Thanks for sharing all that on the Hindus.
Sure.
And God bless you. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you.
Thank you.
All Thank you. Thank you, Everett. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Great to have you.
Bye. Have a good evening. Another person with joy in their voice. I mean, it's just such joy in all the testimonies, and it's so good to hear, and very encouraging and uplifting. And if you're looking for that joy and you don't have it, look, search out Deliverance. DeliveranceUSA.com is the website, or the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. Let them know you need that book. If you don't have it in your library, you don't have it in your arsenal, you're not as armed as you think you are, in my opinion. But we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. We just appreciate the opportunity to come on here and hear these testimonies, to host these testimonies, and to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll see everybody next Wednesday. Pastor, God bless. And everybody else, God bless, and have a good night.
Yes, God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.